brightest audience in the nation and here in Colorado and around the world via KGOV.com. I want to welcome all my Denver listeners at AM 670, KLTT, the blowtorch of the Rocky Mountain West. So glad to have you aboard. And can someone maybe call in with some advice on how to get marinara sauce out of a pair of cotton slacks? Yeah, marinara sauce. You know, red Italian, right? So now my wife, she's shut down yet another avenue by which I may have been able to take her out to dinner by preparing me a lunch of shells and cheese. And I'm talking big, big, soft pasta shells stuffed with ricotta cheese and ground pork and ground beef, red and green bell peppers, mushrooms, and her own homemade marinara sauce. And so, I mean, just forget about it. We can never go to another Italian restaurant now because I'm ruined. And I did get some marinara sauce on my cotton slack. So if anyone out there knows how I can get this sauce off here before I get home and my wife ends up having to do it, she's not going to want to mess with that. But that's all beside the point. Let's jump right into the news of the day. The big news of the day is the March for Life coming up next week, Friday, January 22nd, the west steps of the Colorado Capitol. If you're listening to me outside of Colorado, find the March for Life in your city. Typically, the March for Life goes off on the anniversary of the infamous Roe versus Wade decision that legalized abortion nationwide. In Denver, it'll be on the west steps of the Capitol, January 22nd at high noon. So I would love to see you there. I will be there. And so will all the leaders of the personhood movement here in Colorado, all the pro-life leaders here in Colorado. You'll want to turn in your petitions, your personhood petitions. This is the event at which the leadership of the personhood movement is counting on you to bring those petitions, whether they're half full, a quarter full, completely full. Bring them, turn them in, and you can even pick up more. You can pick up more for the final push, the final couple of weeks going into the February 1st deadline. But we want to see you at the March for Life. For all the information, go to ColoradoMarchForLife.com. You can get all the inside scoop there. ColoradoMarchForLife.com. We will look forward to seeing you there. Also, there will be an event this Saturday morning, 11 a.m., at Sap Brothers Truck Stop. Yeah, Sap Brothers, where you can get a good skillet, and maybe we'll try some of their marinara sauce. I don't know, it might be a little early in the day. There will be the standard witness at the abortion mill on Quebec out there. I don't have that address here. But if you want to go to the clinic, just Google Planned Parenthood Denver, and you can get the address. We will have pro-life activists there from 8 in the morning until 10:30, after which a personhood strategy meeting will be convened at the Sap Brothers truck stop, one block north of I-70 on Quebec. You can get training on petitioning, and you can be a part of the inner circle. Get into the inner loop of leadership there at the person movement. I'll be there so you can meet me. And if you're angry at me, if you're a liberal who just turned to the radio station by accident, come down to Sap Brothers. You could throw a tomato at me, something like that. Okay, so those are the big events here in Denver. But let's move on around the world because there are a lot of interesting, funny, and even some tragic things going on. Down there in Haiti, there is human suffering on a scale that I don't know that I've ever witnessed human suffering on this scale, at least not in the daily 24-hour news cycle. Every time you turn on CNN, it's wall-to-wall Haiti coverage. But fear not, my Haitian brethren. Oh, by the way, I want to say that I think that at the moment the earthquake occurred, right at that very moment, somewhere on the island of Haiti, there was a voodoo priestess cutting open a chicken and doing something weird. Meanwhile, on the other side of the island, or the other side of the city, I should say, There was an earnest Christian bowing their knee to their Savior Jesus Christ in prayer, and the buildings in Haiti collapsed on both of them. Just an observation. Just an observation for all you out there that are superstitious. And we're going to talk about Christian superstition and as well as humanist, heathen superstition, because it cuts both ways. But I want to tell my Haitian brethren down there, fear not. Dateline Johannesburg, South Africa, from the aforementioned CNN, exiled Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide has announced that he is ready to return home to rebuild his earthquake-shattered country. Jean-Bertrand Aristide, ready to go in. I say, give him a tool belt, give him a shovel, and put him on a plane. He says he's ready to help rebuild. What does he say here? He has a quote. He says, to symbolize our readiness, we have decided to meet. He said, we've decided to have a meeting. Now, do you remember Jean-Bertrand Aristide from the 90s? He was the poster boy for Merck Pharmaceuticals. He was on so many mind-altering psychoactive drugs. And he was the president of Haiti until, you know, the military realized this guy's so stoned he's going to ruin the country even further, and they threw him out. And then Bill Clinton reinstalled him, and then the military threw him out again, and now he's ended up in South Africa. And he says he's ready. Okay, listen to what, now for all of you in Haiti there, if there's anyone down there who can hear my voice, or anyone here who's concerned about Haiti, listen to what Jean-Bertrand Aristide, listen to his vision for Haiti. He says, as far as we are concerned, we are ready to leave today, tomorrow, anytime, to join the people of Haiti, to share in their suffering, help rebuild the country, moving from misery to poverty with dignity. So that's Aristide's vision for Haitians, poverty with dignity. Now, I haven't looked that up, but was that in any of George Washington's speeches when we were founding our country? That he would hope to move us to a point of poverty with dignity? I don't think that was in any of the founding documents or any of the speeches or writings or anyway, John, maybe you should just stay home. I mean, unless you really can handle a tool belt, and I saw a picture of you there on the web, and I don't know, I wouldn't ask you to come over and help me move furniture. Let me just put it that way. I mean, the guy looks a little frail, okay? So I don't think Jean-Bertrand Aristide is going to do him much good down there in Haiti. You know, by the way, could someone please strap a tool belt to Anderson Cooper while he's down there? You know, the guy from CNN? Yeah. Well, we don't know that he's a homosexual. Well, of course, we can always make assumptions, but you know what can happen there. Well, I know he's single. I know. Well, I'm just saying we don't know, okay? Anyway, could someone strap a tool belt to Anderson Cooper and put a shovel in his hand? The guy couldn't get on a plane fast enough to get down there and exploit all the human suffering for ratings, the flagging ratings of his pathetic evening news show, 360 with Anderson Cooper, AC 360. Anyway, you know, he's been hanging out down there now for 3 days. He's wearing a T-shirt that's tight, you know, designed to show off his pecs, the pectoral muscles. But I haven't even seen any dust on the guy. I don't think he's lifted a finger to help a single person down there. Anyway, hey, Anderson, nice pecs. How about using them to lift some of the rubble? Anyway, it's just annoying to see the folks at CNN. Now, to address the idea of superstition, there's a lot of superstition and superstitious talk that surrounds these tragedies, especially natural catastrophes. And just today, Danny Glover, who apparently is a famous actor, although I can honestly say I never heard of the guy. Danny Glover, he's famous enough to get quoted on CNN, at least on their website. Danny Glover, actor, Hollywood actor, he says that the earthquake in Haiti is a response to what we did at the climate summit in Copenhagen. He said we screwed up And this is the response. And so I would just ask Mr. Glover, who's responding? Is it the earth? Is it God? Is it the devil? Is it Gaia? Is it aliens? Could you be a little bit more specific about who is responding to the horrible screw up in Copenhagen when we failed to reach a climate change agreement? And Danny, are you implying that had we reached a climate change agreement a month and a half ago in Copenhagen, that the 200 years of pressure building up on the fault line there below Port-au-Prince, that would have somehow been satiated and it would have just all went away and the earth would have just smiled? Maybe just a little burp. Feel better. I don't know. That's just bizarre. So, you know, Pat Robertson's the one extreme of an embarrassing Christian being superstitious. And Danny Glover is equally ridiculous and embarrassing as just your average heathen actor type, Hollywood type, who's just, he's just vacuous. What more can we say? All right, let's move on to more significant news. I've got an article here from this morning's Boulder Daily Comrade. This is a newspaper produced in Boulder, Colorado, which is the closest thing we have to the hate here in Colorado, is the Boulder, well, the county of Boulder, the city of Boulder, I should say. Anyway, the Boulder Daily Comrade, now this story doesn't have a particular author, they just attribute it to the Boulder Daily Comrade staff. And they say, it was this month in 1973 that the U.S. Supreme Court granted women in this country the constitutional right to an abortion. And 37 years later, personhood amendments are being mulled in Colorado and nationwide. But for a moment, says the Boulder Daily Camera staff, forget about the last 37 years. Historians say abortions were discussed at least as early as 5,000 years ago. And recorded history shows them as early as 1550 BC in Egypt and 515 BC in the Chinese apparently history recorded induced abortions in 515 BC. Legend has it that they use mercury poisoning to induce abortions. So from around the time that women and their advisors understood what a missed menstrual period meant for the long term, some have sought abortions. The Boulder Daily Camera staff says abortion, it has been with us always, and it always will be. It can either be safe and legal, or it can be unsafe and illegal. Now, not to put too fine a point on it, for the geniuses at the Boulder Daily Comrade staff. But murdering another person should be illegal. And by making it illegal, you inherently make it unsafe. I mean, would the Boulder Daily Camera staff allow for themselves to be the only group of people not protected by the laws against murder? So that killing someone at the Boulder Daily Comrade could be safe and legal. And even if it was rare, would they allow that exception for themselves? I say, if you want to murder another person, listen, I'm not naive enough to think that by changing the law and reasserting the personhood of the unborn child, that we're going to eliminate all abortions, that we're going to completely eliminate the instance of the killing of innocent people. I'm not naive enough to think that. But I want to make the murder of an innocent person illegal and thereby unsafe. That would really reduce the incidence of abortion if it was illegal and unsafe. The Boulder Daily Camera staff says those are the two choices, safe and legal or unsafe and illegal. Those are the two choices society has faced for thousands of years. Working against unintended pregnancies by supporting comprehensive sex education in public schools and supporting affordable and accessible contraception are both worthy goals for everyone. So that's how the Boulder Daily Comrade staff apparently thinks we can reduce the instance of mothers murdering their children through sex education and contraception. And they say, but just wishing for an end of unintended or unwanted pregnancies or dangerous pregnancies is the opposite of a solution. It's a fantasy world. to which our thousands of years of human history can attest. And you know, they have a point there. Murder goes all the way back to the beginning. I mean, at least if you subscribe to the Christian view of history, well, actually, whether or not you subscribe to the Christian view of history, murder goes all the way back to the very, very beginning. It was one of the earliest sins committed. So by the same logic, I suppose, we should decriminalize murder. We should find ways. Hey, if you want to kill your neighbor, we should find a way to make it safe and legal. That way, at least you wouldn't hurt yourself while you did it. And in the meantime, we could educate you. It's just bizarro logic, which one would expect at the Boulder Daily Comrade, which is a leftist, communist, bloodthirsty rag, not even fit to line the bottom of a birdcage. Perhaps to line your cat litter box. Perhaps. And that's only if you covered it up with some other newspaper before your cat actually touched it. But that's the view of the wise children over at the Boulder Daily Camera. All right. Now let's move on. Dateline Tokyo from the Reuters Wire. Shiseido Company Limited, Japan's largest cosmetics company, has agreed to buy U.S.-based Bare Essentials for $1.7 billion. Why is this news? Why is this on the Bob Inyart Live? How could this possibly have anything to do with anything to do with anything to do with what I was just talking about? Well, let me read further from the Reuters story. Kao Corporation, which is a rival to Shiseido there in Japan in the toiletries and cosmetics market, is also looking for a beauty care product brand in the United States and or Europe that it can invest in. And Japan's third-ranked Kosei Corporation has also said it would consider an overseas acquisition if the right deal came along. Here's the thing. The reason Shiseido has made the bid for Bare Essentials, the mineral makeup people, the reason they've made the acquisition is to try to buttress their shrinking $24 billion home market. Their market is shrinking in Japan because the population is aging in Japan. Not enough new customers. So to say the population is aging, that's kind of a politically correct way to say that Japan's population is shrinking. That means more people are getting old and fewer babies are being born. Because Japan is a very abortion-tolerant culture. And the young people in abortion, many of them have decided to stay home and live with their mom and dad and play video games and watch anime cartoons rather than procreate and get married and act like adults. And so for those who advocate the control of the population, well, this is what it produces. It produces economic catastrophe. You've got companies in Japan, their market share is declining as the population declines. And if you just do the math and extrapolate it out there, eventually these companies would go bankrupt if they had to stay within the bounds of the Japanese economy. So economic and mathematical proof that babies are good and that a growing population is a positive thing. I mean, unless you're a self-hating heathen, you know, which seems to be the type that dominates intelligentsia and academia and the media, both here and in Japan. So anyway, does that make sense economically? I mean, so many of the people who advocate population control, they're so anti-religious that you can't really communicate with them on any spiritual level regarding good and evil. So I just wanted to bring this raw economic truth to them in hopes that maybe this would reach them. You know, you're going to need customers. For all you communist liberals out there, somebody's going to have to put the money into Social Security so you can steal it and give it to your friends. You're going to need people to be born. All right. Let's see now. Let's move on into politics here in the United States. Chuck Schumer is in the news in a story from the New York Post. Chuck Schumer, you know Chucky Charles Schumer up there in New York. The guy who, he always, every time I see him, all I can think of is, this guy is thinking, boy, I really need to blow my nose. I don't know what it is about Chuck Schumer, but that's the feeling I get. That's what's going through his mind, that he really needs to blow his nose because he got something up in there. Not sure what's going on with that. Maybe that's just my own weirdness to think that about Chuck Schumer. But he gives me that feeling that he's always reaching for a tissue because the guy's got something going on there. All right, now, Chuck Schumer sent out a fundraising email in which he called Massachusetts Republican Senate candidate Scott Brown a far-right teabagger. A far-right teabagger, he called him. So he's associating Scott Brown with the Tea Party movement. And apparently the Tea Party movement is all too happy to be associated with Scott Brown. And I'm thinking to myself, say it ain't so to all you Tea Partiers out there. Say it ain't so that you're willing to align yourself with Scott Brown. Now, Scott Brown's opponent there in Massachusetts, we've talked about this story. He is running against some kind of feminist type, an appropriate selection to replace Ted Kennedy. And she's the devil with her mask off. And Scott Brown, he's the devil with his mask on. He's got an R after his name. So apparently some conservatives are willing to support him. And perhaps even some people within the Tea Party movement, who I was beginning to have some respect for. Apparently the Tea Party movement, well, it's possible. I'm telling you this, if the Tea Party movement supports this guy, they're just proving that they're naive and that the old axiom is true, that if you let so-called conservatives, if you scare them enough with Democrats, they're just ready and to be suckered gullibly. They're just gullible and they're just ready to be reeled in by any charlatan with an R after his name. Chuck Schumer is accusing Scott Brown, according to the New York Post, of being aligned with the conservative Tea Party movement. And I just really hope that's not true. I really, really hope that's not true. Now, for all you Tea Partiers out there, I'm not sure I should say this because this may offend some people, but I sat through about 20 minutes of an interview a couple nights ago. Glenn Beck was interviewing Sarah Palin. Yeah. Now, Glenn Beck, as far as I can tell, Glenn Beck made it through like ninth grade, and before he was a political commentator, he was a DJ. So he's not exactly an intellectual brain trust. Okay, not that I don't enjoy listening to his program, and he makes some good points. He's not known as an intellectual. And here's the other thing. Glenn Beck was sick as a dog doing this interview. He was obviously under the influence of like four shots of NyQuil. And now this was just my perspective. Sarah Palin could barely keep up with the intellect of Glenn Beck on the air. No, she couldn't keep up. Glenn Beck had to keep filling her in on pertinent facts that anyone who is politically sentient should at least be aware of. So Sarah Palin embarrassed herself on the air, sitting across from Glenn Beck. And now I haven't heard Beck in a couple days, and I don't know if Beck is still on the Sarah Palin bandwagon. I don't even know if he ever was on it. But if Glenn Beck hasn't denounced Sarah Palin as a completely ignorant empty skirt, then it's obvious that Glenn Beck was on way too much cold medication that night, if he didn't see that. She came off as possibly one of the dumbest people I've ever seen on television. It was just embarrassing for her. And I want to like Sarah Palin. I really do. I want to like her. And I want her to come over and be a part of the personhood movement. But after seeing this interview with the DJ, I'm just not sure that she's smart enough to do much of anything. And I have a feeling that she's going to embarrass herself so badly on Fox, unless she has some good writers, that 6 months from now, she'll be virtually an unknown person. She'll be able to move back to her old subdivision there in Alaska And nobody will even hang magazines on her front door because they just won't even know who she is. And nobody will really care. All right, Dateline Washington, D.C., we're almost out of time. The Obama administration is considering a criminal trial in Washington for the Guantanamo Bay detainee suspected of masterminding the bombing of a Bali nightclub. You remember this guy? Ridwan Isambudan. He was allegedly Osama bin Laden's point man in Indonesia. And Obama wants to try him here in Washington, D.C. I don't get it. I mean, is Obama just such a purely political animal that he feels compelled to prove that this isn't a war by holding civilian trials in all the cities that the terrorists attacked back in 2001? I mean, if that was the case, you'd think this guy's trial would be in Bali. I mean, why can't we send him to Indonesia and let them cane him and chop his hands off or whatever they do over there? Not sure I understand Barry Ho's thinking on the civilian trials in major metropolitan New York cities. I'm just not sure I get that. But maybe I'm just not as smart as Barry Ho. Fear not, the doomsday clock. You all remember the doomsday clock from the 70s? It's been moved back 1 minute by a group of intellectual, well, I guess scientists, I suppose. The clock is now set at 6 minutes to midnight. And they cite a new era of cooperation in the election of Barack Obama as the reason the doomsday clock has been moved back. I guess they haven't been getting those memos out of Iran that as soon as they can possibly do it, they're going to blow up Tel Aviv with a nuclear bomb. So when that happens, I wonder what they'll do with the doomsday clock. When Iran sets off a nuclear bomb, either in Israel or some other surrounding country, I wonder what they'll do with the doomsday clock, all the pointy-headed guys here. All right, here's one for you. Judge this. A 2-year-old child was sleeping in the back of his mom's car on Tuesday night when it was taken away because the boy's mother was behind on her payments. The repo man came and repoed the car. Now, the mother says she was waiting for her daughter outside the running car when someone jumped in it and drove off. And police say that driver turned out to be the owner of Alberto's Auto Sales. He was repoing the car. And the toddler was asleep in the back. Now, officers found the toddler half hour later. And he's fine. And the police say they don't think kidnapping charges appear to be warranted against the owner of Alberto's Auto Sales. So judge this for me. Do you charge this guy with kidnapping because he jumped in the car and took off with a baby, a toddler in the back? Well, we'll get to it next week, quite possibly. I'll let you stew on that over the weekend. Meanwhile, I'll be looking forward to seeing you at the March for Life next Saturday, January 22nd, on the west steps of the Capitol. Go to ColoradoMarchForLife.com, get all the information. And I'll see you at Sap Brothers at 11 o'clock Saturday morning. So have a great weekend. We'll be back with you next week. And if you're thinking about sending your kids to school, think about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada.